What's happening, my debt-free millionaire zealots? Hey, this is Zach Edwards for another debt-free millionaire podcast and personal finance course. And if you haven't joined us before, just know that there's actually a book that you can read while listening to the podcast or watching our YouTube channel to give you all this information. So the book gives you the information. The podcast and the YouTube basically give you life experiences that I've gone through. The YouTube channel, the one benefit to that is it gives you graphs and images as well, so you can see it as you go. So you have three different ways of getting your information right now. Again, you have the podcast, you have the YouTube channel, and you have the book. Now, the YouTube channel and the podcast are very much the same thing. So let's just say you have two. And you know, with me, I always say you want to have three witnesses. So my phrase is, by the mouth of three witnesses, two or three witnesses, shall every word be established in your head. And so your third one is going to be the debt-free millionaire game, which is what a lot of people are waiting for. This is actually was a physical game, but then we found out that it took too much time for people to write down their information because we actually use real numbers. We actually have fun with real life. And so we actually changed it into a digital game. And now there's going to be, after we're done with the digital game, there will be a hybrid between the two. So you can play it in physical form and also digital form. But stay tuned for that. There's going to be a lot more to that and how the hybrid works. With that said, let's go into today's personal finance course. And this is week two, day four. And this is, yesterday we were talking about expenses. We were talking about monthly expenses, ones that repeat and those that are variable. So the fixed expenses, which are the ones that happen every year, every month at the same rate. We have the fixed or the variable expenses, which are ones that go up and down depending on how much you spend on it or how much utilities you use and things like that, gas that you use. Those are all variable rates. Now, these are all expenses. Doesn't matter if they're fixed or they're variable. They're all expenses. Now, at the very end of the list that we gave you yesterday, we mentioned children. One of the biggest expenses that you're going to have. Funny enough, it's actually less than your mortgage. Well, it's actually about the same as your mortgage and your rent. So just so you know, children are expensive. But this is a big but there's so many more benefits that come from it, including extended life, extended mission, happiness, joy. All these things are things that you actually get because you have children. Now, here's another big benefit when it comes to financial. So those were more emotional, financial. So when they are young, your kids take care, or you take care of your kids, right? You have to change them. You have to teach them. You have to do all these different things and change their diapers. But when you get older and you start wearing diapers and you start getting old and you start having all these different issues financially, legally, things like that, there's no replacement for children, a child that loves you and is part of your life to be there with you to help you through the whole process. When it comes to some people won't have the money to support themselves and will actually move in with their parents. You'll find that in a lot of Polynesian, Asian, Hispanic cultures, some European. It seems like the United States, we've fallen out of that. I think also African as well. So basically everyone, except for the United States, the child takes care of the parent in the end. Now, cultures are all different, so you're going to get different things in different places. But that is one of the great benefits of being in the United States. You can have the freedom of living by yourself. If you want, you could also live with your children, depending on your relationship with them. But in the end, when it comes to even the being there to visit you and to bring mission and reason to live, those are great benefits that come with having children. So there are great benefits. There are a lot of expenses that come with it. And this is what we're going to go through today. Okay, so let's go over one of the statistics I wanted to share. This one's a very important one, very eye-opening. So over 17 years, so if you have a child for 17 years that you're taking care of them, just like 18 years, it's about the same, but maybe a little bit more. In 2015, the Department of Agriculture came out with a statistic, and they said for one child to be raised over 17 years, it would cost you $233,610. That's a lot of money. That's about the amount of a small house. These days, it's a little bit less than a regular average house. So for a small home, that's basically how much you're paying towards your kids. But at the same time, you also need to know that that was in 2015. By 2021, this is before inflation took in from the Biden administration. And again, as I've said in the past, it's not just Biden. Trump also caused part of it because he spent so much on the COVID crisis. But because of all the spending, we've had a lot of increase in inflation. And so the price went from $233,000 to $284,570. So it has gone up nearly $50,000 in the span of 6 years. Well, get this. It's probably gone up nearly the same amount. So it's probably over 300,000. Now, the numbers have not come out yet for 2023. But it's nearly probably around, because of inflation, over $300,000 to raise a single child over 17 years. Now, the next child does not take as much. It's not as expensive because you do have hand-me-downs. You have other things that once you have one child, it's basically going to be the same expense throughout the years. So that it decreases a little bit. And with each child, you have less and less and less. For instance, I have a 6-year-old who cannot be at the house by herself. I have a 17-year-old who's asked constantly to watch her. And though we do pay her, we want to show her the value of money and babysitting. We do pay her. We do pay her a lot less than we would a normal babysitter. So the expenses go down because we have child support, child care built into our household because we have such a large range in children. Here's other expenses. There are other expenses as well that might come up, including one of the biggest expenses of child care. And if you have someone that's staying, a parent that's staying home, you don't have to worry about this. But if you have child care, we pay $20,000 a year for two children. That's in Kansas City. The calculated child care cost alone per child is about $37,000. Now, most child care, and this is the average, this is everything from people that have kids or have a stay-at-home parent and those that do not. So for those that do not have a stay-at-home parent, it's actually going to be more. So that's why it's averaged in there. It'll probably be even, let's see, if I pay $20,000 for two children, so let's say $10,000. Kids are in there for about 8 years. We actually put them in after, so probably about 3 years old until probably about 10 years old, so about 7 years. That's about $70,000 of that $233,000. So if you don't put them in child care, you can basically deduct that amount off of there. So we are one of the higher end, and this is for my two youngest. Now, if we actually had all of the kids in daycare, then that would be a lot more expensive. Because again, I have six kids. Luckily, four of them are self-sustaining. Two of them are in daycare, and one of them is just about to be able to take care of herself in our house. As of right now, it's more of a maturity issue. We don't let our 10-year-old take care of herself at home by herself because of maturity. But when she actually gets to that point where she starts becoming more mature, then we have no problem with letting her stay at home. And then she doesn't have to have daycare. Actually, we're planning to do it next year. So when she goes into middle school, she'll actually have full reign when it comes to coming home. She'll take the bus home. And actually, she'll be with her sister, who's 2 years older than her. But they'll be able to be home by themselves. And so that would be great. So yeah, that's just one of the expenses of children. When they're really young, you're paying for everything from diapers to formula to toys. And then when they get older, you're paying for gas for getting them around. You're paying for toys, if they go for toys, electronics, the really expensive ones, being type of toys. the expensive toys are the electronic toys. Even phones I would consider a toy, because a child does not need a cell phone. Though most parents give them the cell phones, they don't need a cell phone. And so there's all these different expenses as you get, let's check out food. So you're paying for formula, which is expensive. Get them out of formula, you're paying less money because they eat less. But as they become a senior or a high schooler, man, they're dishing that food into their mouth at all times. And so the price of having a child goes up when it comes to the food. So there's a lot of things that you learn. But now let's go into the negatives of life. This is not about having children. This is the negatives of life. Okay, so you have five different options when it comes to taking care of your children. One, you are married and the other parent, you're married and there's two parents over the children and you raise them together. That's a great way of doing it. One person, let's say two different ways. This has actually two different ways inside of it. One is someone that has a parent that stays home with them. That actually cuts down on a lot of the daycare costs. But at the same time, you don't make as much in your household. Now, if you do have both going to work, you have more income, but you also have more expenses because of daycare. So you get to choose on that. That's only scenario number one. So both parents are at home, loving family, everyone together. Great. Okay. The second one is where your partner takes the child in a divorce. Now, this is really hard because I went through divorce. I had four kids. I got to see the kids 50% of the time. My other spouse got to see them also 50% of the time. Now, this might seem good in the sense that, hey, I get a break from the kids, get to do things. Some people think that way. If you're going to think that way, probably not a good thing to have a child. Just saying. Because when you become a parent and all of a sudden your kids get taken away from you half the time, you'll go through depression, you go through anxiety, you go through all these different feelings of being alone. So having a child is amazing when it comes to benefits. Getting a divorce, it's hard. And like I said, if you're doing it for selfish reasons, then you're hurting yourself and good riddance. That's the honest truth. But if you're doing it for other reasons, some people have to get divorced. There are certain reasons why divorce is actually needed. Then there is no judgment whatsoever. And I feel sorry that you have to go through that. That's what we had to go through. It wasn't because of selfish reasons. But it was something that we both had to go through. And now we share the expenses of the children 50-50. But in the end, it actually becomes more expensive because all of a sudden we do have to pay for childcare. We do have to pay for all these things because both of us now have to work because we have two different households to take care of. So the price of a child all of a sudden goes up by having two separate households. So if you ever get into marriage thinking that you're going to get divorced, don't get married. Wait until you find the right person that you're going to live the rest of your life with. It's so much more expensive. And I'm going over financial reasonings. So again, there's so much more than financial reasons to get married and such. But the financial struggles. Financially, you're going to be paying a lot more. There's going to be a lot more expenses if you get divorced. So option two, it's not the best scenario. So if you can hold off from doing it, please do. Okay, now here's the thing. The third option is much similar to the second option, but actually the second option was not a 50-50 like we had. That's where the other parent takes the kids and you have to pay child support for taking care of them. Now, scenario number three is actually a swap. It's where your spouse leaves and you're left with the kids. Now, two things can happen in this one because one, because you, I don't know who your other spouse is. And if they're listening to this, they're probably responsible. If they're not listening to this, I can't say that they're responsible. But what if you become the sole caretaker and also the financial provider and the other spouse is not doing anything? So they take off and you never see them again. It becomes very hard. We have a lot of people in this scenario. A family member that takes off is doing things for selfish reasons. There's few reasons why they don't stick around. I can think of a few, but I won't mention on this in this podcast. But there are reasons for that actually happening. But think of it this way, by getting divorced and your partner taking off. So long story short, if you can make it work for stage two and stage three, please make it work. Actually, stage four is actually, stage five is very similar. So I'm going to jump to stage five. And that's basically where, like my situation, where I have an ex-spouse that we actually get along very well together still. Just not able to be married together. And so we actually take things 50-50. And our kids are older because they were all out of daycare and such. And actually, I became the stay-at-home dad for a while before our divorce. And so because of all these scenarios or reasons, we were able to keep the financials low for our kids. And also the impact on our kids was very low because we worked together. Okay, so that's actually, if you're going to get a divorce, that's the best scenario that you can go through financially because you work things out with your ex-spouse. The fourth one, now this is a big one. This is actually happening a lot. I wish it happened even more because there's two things that happen to a child when they're not, when the parent doesn't think they can take care of them. One, they go through an abortion, which the child is killed and no more child. People think that that's a resolution, that's a solving it. But actually, it causes a lot more issues for the woman and also the man afterwards. So there are so many negatives to abortions beyond the child being killed. And so there's another way of doing this, which is why I made this scenario number five, or number four, and that's where the child is actually put up for adoption. Did you know that there are more parents ready for adoption than there are children available for them, especially at infancy? So a child that's born into this world and the parent doesn't think they can actually take care of them, there are so many people that are ready and willing and desiring to take care of your children and to make them their own. And so your child lives and somebody that is able to take care of them takes care of them. Now, there are other scenarios as well, and I'm not going to go over all of them, but those are the major five scenarios. Again, one, you and your spouse stay happily married together, even not so happily married, but still married together for the whole lifetime of these children. And the expenses are so much lower because of that. The next one is where your spouse takes off with or takes the kids and you're left with nobody, but you're still paying financially for your kids and you're dishing out the expenses. So your monthly expenses is huge because you're paying for one, two, three, even four children. The next one is where possibly your partner leaves and leaves you with the children and possibly even the financial burden of caring for all the kids as a single parent. And that's be very hard. That's probably one of the hardest situations. The next one, number four, is basically where you put up your kid for adoption. So that's a great one too, because you don't have the financial burden. You also don't have the guilt, the anxiety, the depression that comes from postpartum, because your child's born, you're able to see them, and you're able to take care of them for a little while, and then pass them off to the person that's going to adopt them. It also gives you the chance to say, you know what, I am going to take care of this child, because there's so many benefits from it. Okay, I'm not here to talk about keeping divorce and stuff like that, but I am giving you the basic truths. I'm going to be very transparent in this. So if you're a youth, you're going to listen to this, and if you have two loving parents in your home, you have an amazing situation. If you have one loving parent in your home, you still have a great situation because you have a loving parent. And that parent probably is doing everything they can to take care of you. If you are in the option, and that's two and three, or even five as well, where you have two loving parents just not living together. And then possibly if you're adopted, then you're even in a situation like number one, because you have two parents that are taking care of you, that love you, and are treating you like your own. So those are all can be good scenarios for the children, depending on how you look at it. But here's a thing to know. If you have in the desire in the future never to get married, and you're saying, well, I'll live with my partner and we're going to be great. Well, just so you know, 70% of cohabiting parents, so those that are not married, will end in breakup. 70%, though only 30% will actually stick together. So if you're thinking that that's an option in the future, you're ready for a rude awakening because there's no commitment there beyond what you just say you have a commitment of. So when you actually have a ring, you have a wedding, you have marriage, there are actually more benefits, but also there's a lot more keeping you connected to your other spouse. So there's another reason to get married and don't just cohabitate. Okay, so moving on, again, we're talking about children expenses. Another one, and I've already gone over this, this is actually part of what I was talking about, child support is not cheap. And so there's, if you make a lot of money and the other parent does not, this is child support, not child care. So child support, if you get divorced, child support is basically if you make a lot of money and your spouse does not, the person that makes the most money is going to be actually subsidizing the parent that does not make enough money. And the reason why that is because they're trying to create an equal field between the two households. So a child doesn't go from strict poverty to riches and back and forth, because it really messes with the mind and it's not fair for the kids. So the parent that has the money is going to be paying more to the parent that does not have the money just to equalize the houses and to give a better scenario for the kids to be able to live in. That's the reason for child support. So child care is where you could be, you give them over to someone during the day and you take them back into your household. Child support is where you get divorced. One parent has the children. Actually, it doesn't matter if it's 50-50 or 100-0. There's always child support that goes between the two parties, because again, the lower income household is going to get money from the higher income household to try to equalize the two households, at least when it comes to supporting the children, not to support the house, to support the children. So this gives you a little bit of understanding it. Just also so you know that the average in the United States, the average per child per month for child support is $430 to $1,000, depending on one, how young your child is, two, how many children you have. The more children you have, the lower that will get, because you can't make the higher income household destitute just to bring up the living in the other household. So this will all be taken into account by the judge during the divorce decree. So if you're spending $430 a month on a child in child support, put that over 12 months times 17 years, this is the low end, it's $87,720 per child support alone. That's a big expense. Now that's again over 17 years, and that's the low end. If you get up to $1,000, times 12, this makes it $12,000 a year. Times 17, you do the math, it's over $100,000. So that's for you to know. Okay, now let's go back to the actual child. So let's say we're going back to a normal household. I'm not going to say what the normal is. A normal household, what are your some expenses? Again, being at a young age, you're going to be paying for diapers, formula, housing, toys, clothing, because they're brand new babies. They're going to go through clothing fast. And then we have the senior or even high schooler who's going to go through food, gas, clothing. Holy cow, when they hit puberty and start growing, they start going through clothes. When they start going through puberty, they also start eating a lot. They might not want it, but you want it. You want them to start taking showers a lot more and putting on deodorant. So yeah, there's a lot more expenses as the children get older. But here are some of the benefits as well. There are child tax care credits. So the government actually lowers your taxes for the amount of kids that you have to help bring down the cost of having a child. That's one of the great benefits of being in America and paying your taxes. For many years, I was actually not making enough as a stay-at-home parent, and I've brought you through my situation. Because I didn't have much income coming in and I still had children, the child tax care credit actually basically gave me everything I was earning in taxes and then some. So that helped out as well when I was the stay-at-home dad while my ex-wife went to school. So there's a lot of different things. There's actually a lot more stats in the book. You'll have to look that up. But this is something for you to understand when it comes to the child expense. If you are able to take care of a child, you know you're able to take care of a child, great, have children. But also know that you do not have to have children if you do certain things. And I'm going to leave that up to your parents to talk to you about, of how not to have a child at a young age. That's not for me. This is a financial class, not a, health, wellness, and such class. But when the time comes that you are ready to have children, then hopefully you're married, because again, that's another better situation for not just you, but also your children, that you are making enough to be able to provide for them. Again, you're going to get you to that point where you could be 24 years old and have plenty of income coming in to have children, or you can wait till you're 30. But just my advice, don't wait too long, because you don't want to be a 50-year-old person taking care of a 10-year-old child, because a lot of parents right now are waiting till they're 40 years old, because that's when they're financially established, to have a child. Because if you do that, you're going to be 57. At 40 years old, you're going to be 57, 58, 59 before your child leaves your house. You're going to be nearly 60 years old. Between 50 and 60 years old, you should be partying it up. Your kids should be leaving the house. You should be traveling to see them, traveling to other places before you retire. Because you're having income, you might as well use some of it, because you're not paying all these extra expenses. Now, at the same time, you do have college costs and things like that. So let's go over one of the other benefits. So I was talking about the child tax care credit. You also have what we call the 529 college savings plan, which is basically you put in money after it's been taxed, but everything that grows from that amount that you put in there is not taxed. It's like your 401k, but it's for their college fund. Say you have three children. The first one, you saved up $15,000 before going off to college, and they said, hey, I'm going to go get some scholarships, and they used $10,000 of it. Great! That's even better, because that $5,000 that's extra can go into the next child. The next child says, well, I'm not as smart as the other person, or hopefully they're motivated enough. I'm not able to get scholarships. Here's a situation. The first one was a female. Now, females, doesn't matter what nationality, are more likely to get scholarships than males. So knowing that, the first one's female, they get scholarships to do everything they needed, $10,000 from your 529 account. Your next one is male, and he's tried for every scholarship possible, but he can't get it because he's male. Now, because of that, you have the 529. That $5,000 that you saved from your last child, no, they do not get to claim it, because if it's not claimed for education, it will actually be taxed to you, the whole thing. So you put that into the next child, and the next child says, hey, $20,000, I can make up the rest. And so they go to work, they are able to make the money, you pay $20,000, you spent all that money. Now what happens to child number three? Well, if you put all your money in at one time, say you're established at 30 years old and you put in $10,000 into each, the first child has less money that will be accrued over that time. Even if you just put in that certain amount, again, like I was telling you in like episode 2 or 3, maybe 3 or 4, there's actually like a hockey stick when it comes to your investments. It's called, not cumulative, it's called, let me see, wait a second. So this is, oh, I thought I could pause this. Okay, so sorry. I actually thought of it as soon as I paused the videotape and the audio. So cumulative interest. So remember, cumulative interest, it starts off low. You can put in for your 401k or IRA. You can actually put in $1,000 at 15 years old. And by the time you get to 65, it'll be over $107,000. So that's a great increase. And that's not putting any money in afterwards. So much like your 529, when you actually put in your $10,000 you put in when you're 30 years old and your kids are, say, 2, 4, and 6, your 2-year-old still puts in the exact same amount, and over that same time gets the same increase until the point when the first one, the 6-year-old, becomes 17 and they pull their money out. The next child gets 2 more years of cumulative interest, compound interest. And then the next child comes up and he's even more. So here's a great benefit. So child number one got scholarships. They didn't use all of that 529, and $5,000 went over to the Child number two. Child number two said, $20,000, that's great. I love that. And plus, they still had a little bit more cumulative interest. So it's going to be, shouldn't even say it's $15,000. Because of compound interest, they're going to go from the $10,000 that you put in, they're going to increase it to about $20,000 by the time they graduate. And because of that, child number one will have $20,000. Say they use, again, used up all but $5,000. The $5,000 that was extra goes over to child number two. Child number two has had two more years to increase through compound interest and is going to say have, instead of $15,000, they're going to have, or sorry, instead of $20,000, they're going to have about $25,000. But they can't get any scholarships. So you take that $5,000 from child number one, you put it into their account, and all of a sudden they have $30,000, which pays for theirs, and anything less or anything more, that child's going to take care of through work to pay the rest of that amount. Now, child number three, they're not left out either because they still have another 2 years to accumulate off of the additional 2 years before that as compared to child number one. So they're basically in the same situation as child number one, partially child number two, because they'll have increased their amount by another $5,000. And this can be done in any situation, any scenario, where the first child, you spend the whole $15,000, the next child, the whole $20,000, the next child, you spend the whole, or say $20,000 out of the $25,000, $5,000 goes from that child to the third child, same thing. But you can bring over that money from one child to the next child to the next child. And then afterwards, if they don't use it up, you can actually use it for education as well, if you'd like. But it has to be used for educational purposes. So these are great benefits that come with having children and being able to work it out with the government. That's one of the great benefits. Now, there's also other ones that you should look into. I'm not going to mention them here. They're in the book. Look them up. These are great benefits that you have financially thanks to the government not taking more of your money. I'm not going to say thanks to the government. They return some of their money because of that. Child tax care credit, 529s, and there's a bunch more that come up. Right now, expect this. I'm going to give you an expects situation. So I'm going to predict, this is a prediction, but this is a very strong prediction, and I'll tell you why afterwards. I'm predicting that in the next, say, 5 years, by the time you get old enough to have children, there are actually going to be bigger benefits inside the United States to have children. And here's the reason why. A lot of schools, a lot of teachers are teaching, and I know this because my kids are being taught this, that we're being overpopulated in the world, that we're not, we don't have enough food for everyone. We're creating too much pollution. So we need to decrease the amount of children that are born into society. Well, sorry, that is false. That is completely false. Let's call it false doctrine. That is misinformation. And people love talking about misinformation now, but it's totally misinformation that we are overpopulating the world right now because actually the numbers are going down. So the average family, now I did not actually look this up beforehand, so I'm gonna actually find this out while we're talking, but the average replacement rate of a child, so the average couple has how many kids? Let's go look that up. How many children? So the average family, so two people, have an average, and this is for those that actually get married, actually have an average of 1.94 children. Wow. So instead of two people making two people and equalizing the population, no, we have 1.92. And that's going to continue to decrease because of what's being taught in schools to our children. Because basically they're saying, hey, you're not going to make as much. There's going to be too much pollution. You need to have less children. The reason why I'm combating this right now is because every nation that's ever tried to limit the amount of children they have is now suffering from the lack of children. China, for a big instance, does not have a workforce and does not have this financial support coming up for all the older people in China. And so they're actually incentivizing people now to have more children. They used to have a one-child policy where every family would have one child because they were overpopulating. They had too many people for their country. Now they don't have enough to take care of their households, But here's the thing, because they've been teaching that one child policy, people, kids don't want to have kids in China. So youth, when they get older, do not want to, as of right now, have children to repopulate China. It's the same in South Korea. My cousin actually lives there. In Japan, my sister lived there for a while. In almost every nation in Europe is having the same issue as well. So these are basically epidemics that are happening when it comes to our population in the world. Yes, people say, well, we're just taking more refugees, more immigrants into the country. Well, that's not solving the issue either, because those are normally, depending on who you get, a lot of those people, the larger majority of those people, are lower income people that are not making the amount of money that a naturalized citizen, naturally born here, would actually be making over their lifespan. And so you're going to be bringing in a lot more people, but who's providing for their country, because their countries are going down as well? I actually like to bring up the statistic. I wonder if it, I actually can grab it right here. Let's bring it up. So this is the United States. Okay, so we're not doing the United States. I want to do the world. So this same scenario, I'm going to give you for the world and what the replacement rate of their populations is right now. And this is per child. So let's see. Okay, so here's different ways that the countries are, the birth rate is. So birth rate per woman is how they put it in this situation. And this is AAA state of play. So basically the AAA. The Nigeria, for every woman, has 6.8 children. Somalia. So most of the countries in here are African. Then they go into the Middle Eastern. Afghanistan has 4.6 children. At the same time, know that a lot of their children and even adults die before childbearing age. So these are women that get to childbearing age. So they actually have to replace a lot more in order to just equalize their population. But you start going down and it's like number 50 or less that gets you out of Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. So European countries are not even here. Paraguay is actually at, let's see, Paraguay. I just saw you. Oh, so let's go to Honduras. Honduras, South America, 2.4. So even South American countries. So if we're taking in a lot more South American immigrants, then we're not repopulating their countries as well. And that becomes an issue there. Guatemala, 2.4. Now, these are ones that Hispanic families usually had larger families. They're not anymore. Let's see. I'm trying to find someone in here that is from Europe, but I cannot find one. France. Okay, there we go. France. Wow, wait a second. France is at 1.8. France is at 1.8, and I did not see any other. Belize, Virginia Islands, Ecuador, India. India's only at 2 now. So soon they won't be repopulating their country as well. And I love India because we actually are bringing on someone from India to help us out with our AI portion. And we also have developers from there and such. But I don't see anyone on this list from Europe that's above a 1.8 replacement rate. So our population is going down in South America, in Europe, and the United States. So for those countries, in order to repopulate, we actually have to bring in immigrants or have more children. So this is, again, my prediction. This is my prediction for 5 years. So 5 years out. So right now we're in 2024. By 2029, let's just say 2030, there will be huge incentives for people in the United States to actually have children, because I'm guessing that I don't even see the U.S. in here, but we already established it was 1.9. Let me go back one more time. I don't want to leave any blank space in talking. So yeah, I don't see us anywhere above this. So actually, I can find out by saying States. United States, 1.7. From this statistic, we're down to 1.7 instead of 1.9. So it depends on who you get the source from. This one's actually, again, per woman of childbearing age, we have a 1.7 replacement rate. So again, it takes two to make a child. And if each two make 1.7, we're having less and less children. So those families that are having more children, God bless you, because we'll have Social Security because of you for a little bit longer. And we'll have to bring in more immigrants unless we start repopulating, of which like China, Sweden, a lot of the other countries, especially the Netherlands, have all of a sudden started giving huge benefits for people to have children. So there's going to be more benefits in the next 5 years. Wow, I am going a lot into this. But this is something I'm passionate about because there's a lot of misinformation that's going on right now, public schools and in our media, about people being overpopulating. Now, when it comes to pollution, it's true. More people create more pollution. But with more people, technology comes. And with more people with technology comes less pollution because we're solving those issues through our technology. So just think of it that way when you think, oh, it's better this way because we're saving the planet. No, you're hurting the planet. The less people that are there to help with new technology, the less you're going to have when it comes to taking care of your Social Security. Oh, look at that. You won't have Social Security. Another prediction, within 5 years, it's gone unless it's changed. No, they're most likely going to change it. But if it's not changed, you will be no one here listening to this podcast who's under the age of 40 will have any Social Security. Just my prediction. Prove me wrong. Again, I predicted 2021 and inflation. I also predicted 2020 with the pandemic, not the pandemic itself, but that there would be a recession around that time. So take it or leave it. Don't care. It's not my part. And this podcast might not be around 20 years from now. I said 5 years. It'll probably be around 5 years from now. But this is for you to keep an ear on. So don't just not have children because you think, oh, you're saving the planet, or, oh, I can't afford it. Children have a lot more benefits than they do negatives. And I would not give up having my children. I would actually have more children if I could. If I could adopt children, I would adopt children because there's so many benefits that come from it. Man, I love having children and I would not give them up for anything, even being debt-free or being a millionaire. But you know what's funny? This is the funny part. This is the best part of this whole conversation is that we're going to get you to the point where you're debt-free and a millionaire and you won't have to worry about the things that happen because you have children, your financial struggles and such. Because we're going to teach you the basics and then we're going to teach you the advanced classes. And this is the things that the millionaires, the billionaires, they don't want you to know because this is how they take care of themselves and make so much money and pay less taxes than they could be paying. And you know what? I'm totally fine with them finding ways and loopholes to get out of it. But I'm going to teach you those same loopholes. I'm going to teach you the same way that they invest because I'm investing that way. I want you to be able to invest that way. So let's get you to that point. And through this, I will make you a debt-free millionaire zealot just as much as I am and just as much as my other followers are. And if you just want to be debt-free, great, come listen. If you want to be a millionaire, great, come listen because I'm going to make you both or either one. Whichever one you want to be, we'll get you there. Thank you so much for listening. I know this one's a little bit longer than usual, but I do appreciate you sticking in and hearing everything I have to say because it's so important to hear and understand because this is the future. And you will be the future. And I will make sure that you are well-established, well-funded, and having so much fun because you just listened to this podcast and you did what I teach you and what others teach you. Because again, we'll be bringing on other people to help you as well. So stay tuned for more and we'll catch you next time. Take care. And if I have not made you a zealot yet, I hope to in the near future. Thanks again. Bye-bye.